The Holy Gospel for this morning is taken from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I think we missed a little short section in this reading which said that Jesus, you know, when he went up the mountain to pray, he told his disciples to get into this boat, cross the Sea of Galilee, and he would meet them on the other side. So anyway, I just wanted to add that in there so you knew what was going on here. There was a time when Protestant sermons, it was said, you should, in order for people to remember the sermon, what you need to do is have three points and then end the sermon with a poem for dramatic effect, right? So that is not something I ever found to be particularly helpful. I don't like the idea of proclaiming the gospel by fitting it into some kind of pre-existing straitjacket, you know. Well, I got to try to find 3 points here and then pull out my book of poems and find the right one to end this with. So I never did that. But let me say that this particular text has definitely 3 distinct sections, each one with its own importance and its own message, all related to the health of our faith and how we have that health in the first place. So, the context here. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. The message there, of course, is the boundless grace of God, which is generous, unending, and God's very, very willing to dole out his grace and his love to all who ask for it, even those who don't. So after doing that, and after having been busy healing all kinds of desperate people and brokenhearted people and people in pain and people suffering, you know, he was a 24-hour caregiver is what he was. And so at times he needed to go off by himself. And whenever he did that, he went to pray. Now the text doesn't say that he went to pray because he was stressed out. The text doesn't say he had any particular concern that he needed to pray about. The text doesn't say that he was afraid of something that would cause him to want to pray. Rather, for Jesus, prayer was simply communion or fellowship with God in the Spirit. That's what it was. And Jesus did that because when we commune and have fellowship with God, and we empty our minds and our hearts to the extent that that's possible of other concerns and worries and things that take up our time and everything in this life, and when we just sit with God with no need, no particular reason to have to pray, no particular concern, no particular worry, no particular anything. We just want to be with God. That's what he's doing here. And there's a very important message for us in this simple act of going away from everybody to commune with God. Because that is how God gives us the gifts that he wants to give us. God wants to give us a clear conscience so that we know we're forgiven. God wants to give us renewed energy and new life. God doesn't want us to be weighed down and burdened by the cares of this life. He wants us to be able to rise above them. He wants us to be able to not allow all of the problems victimize us. So while God won't necessarily take problems away, while he won't necessarily give us health, wealth, and popularity, which tend to be substitutes for God anyway, what he will do is give us his grace. And the way we receive that grace, which assures us of our own salvation, of God's promises in our lives, just as hearing the gospel does, just as participating in the sacraments, just as giving of yourself to help your neighbor, prayer needs to be a part of our spiritual discipline. Because we have a very short period of time in this world. And it passes very quickly. And if we allow secondary concerns to completely take up all of our time, and we don't sit with God and allow God to breathe his kingdom, his love, his grace into our hearts and into our minds, then we're missing out on the single most important good that we can ever receive. Now that's the first part of this text. The second part, the disciples are in this boat, okay? And it's typical in this particular region of Palestine for thunderstorms to come along really fast. They come barreling through. And that's what happens. They're out on the Sea of Galilee. A thunderstorm comes barreling through. The wind is intense. The boat, it's out of control. You know, they're in one of those situations, and there's a lot of them in life, where you feel like you've lost control of where you're going. They have totally lost control. The storm is threatening. You know, it's like when you're in the hospital and you're totally at the mercy of the staff. You have no control. It's like when you try everything you possibly can to solve a problem and nothing works. It's one of those situations where you're at the mercy of forces outside of yourself, and you can't do anything about it. So what happens in situations like that when we lose control? Well, fear happens. That's what happens. Fear. And the disciples are afraid. In fact, they are so afraid that when they see Jesus, walking on water, that's a little odd, right? That would be a little odd. That would be something that would, you know, cause you to wonder what's going on here. But they know what he looks like. They knew it was him. But you see, they were seeing him through the prism of their fear. And so what they saw was a ghost. A ghoulish presence, a threatening presence. They couldn't even perceive it was their own Lord and Master because their fear had taken control of them. And that's what happens oftentimes. You know, the way we perceive the world around us and the way we react to things depends so much on what's going on inside of us. Speaking personally, when I'm stressed out, for example, and I'm watching the news, right, I start yelling at the TV as if that's going to do any good, right? Little things will, you know, I have trouble tying my shoe, so I get mad at it and throw it across the room. But when I'm calm and I'm not stressed out, well, things go just fine, you know, I can handle this and that and whatever. The way we feel inside has a lot to do with how we perceive the world around us. So while we can't necessarily, you know, control everything that happens in life, what we possibly can do is something about how it affects us. And that leads to the third part of this particular text. The disciples are in fear. They see Jesus. They think he's a ghost. But then he, as is usual and in perfect consistency with who he is, he assures them, "Be not afraid. It is I. There's nothing to be afraid of." Jesus was a person, you know, when you read the Gospels, it's really amazing. Here was a person, and I'm not saying anyone else can live up to this standard, but it's very instructive for us because we can grow in that direction. But here was a person who never allowed fear to take control. Now, he wasn't always in control of things going on around him in his ministry. He would go to one town and everybody would reject what he had to say. He'd go to another town, they might listen to him. The Pharisees were constantly on his case because they thought he was breaking this law and the other law. All kinds of dangerous, difficult things were going on. And yet, he instructs his disciples, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't have the assurance of their next meal, but they're not anxious. Be like them. There is no need to allow fear to drive the way you live your life. There's another possibility." And so in this third section, you see, Peter, he's the brash one of the disciples. You know, he's always the one who's out front. He takes risks. He's always, you know, the leader. So when Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I," Peter says, "Oh, well, if it's really you, Lord, command me to walk on the water." And Jesus is always happy. You know what he's always happy to do? Whenever we ask for grace, whenever we ask for strength to deal with something, whenever we ask God to strengthen our faith, Whenever we ask for the things that Jesus calls the treasures of heaven, hope, faith, love, strength, the ability to rise above fear and anxiety and worry and despair, He is happy to give it to us every time we ask. That's what He wants to give us. In fact, at one point He said, which one of you, if you had a child who asked for a fish, would give him a scorpion instead? Well, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for it? But sometimes we get so caught up in wanting life to go really nice that what we ask for is, Lord, please make things better, rather than asking for, Lord, give me the strength, the faith, and the hope to walk through this storm, rather than to take it away. So that's what Peter does. Peter wants to walk on the very water that's threatening to drown him. He's going to rise above it. So as long as he was focused on Jesus himself, he walks right along. Amazing. But then he's distracted by the strong wind. His fear comes back and he sinks like a rock. The ability to deal with life doesn't come from positive thinking. It doesn't come from trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. It comes from the grace of God in Jesus Christ. When you keep your eyes focused on His presence and in prayer and worship and devotions and service and in all the ways that are unseen that God makes Himself present for us through other people, He is constantly giving us grace. And so, even when our faith fails, as Peter's did, and he's sunk, because that happens sometimes. God knows it's happened to me many times. Even then, Jesus reaches out His hand and pulls him right out of the water. How many times, when you think about it, has God pulled you out of the water? He has a habit of doing that because He has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And even when we lose our faith and stray and then ask the question, where's God in the midst of this storm? When really the question is, not where is God, the question is, where have we been? Because if we have not been constantly in touch with God's presence, that's our problem. That's because we chose not to do that. Jesus is always present. And so, when the storms of life come along, which they will, when we lose control, when it appears as if things are sinking, we can't necessarily do anything about changing the circumstances. But what we can do is keep our hearts and minds focused on the presence of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who is present with His grace to give us strength, pull us out of the water. And yes, He does use this as a teaching moment. He says, why did you doubt? Where is your faith? But, you know, He's always honest about things. And He needs to be. He needs to be honest. If we're going to grow in faith, we need to be challenged sometimes and questioned. Where have you been? Where have you been? But He's always there. And because he's always there, we can count on him 24 hours a day, 365 days of the week. And he is there to give us his grace, his love, and to lift us up, to strengthen us, to give us new life, to give us hope, and to enable us, not necessarily to avoid storms, but to walk through them without fear. Amen.